Hello friends, today we will be seeing chapter number 14, that is modern trends in management. Now before I start this chapter, let me tell you one important information. This is one such chapter which is specifically having this word modern trends. Now what do we modern trends, what do we mean by this word modern trends? It means things which are happening currently. This is a unique and a beautiful chapter which is close to my heart. The only difference between the trends in management over here mentioned in this chapter are going to be more related towards production aspect of the business. Normally, when we talk about trends in management, which are the current scenarios trends in management, which are having the concept of functioning as far as management across the world, we have got few new innovated techniques of management which helps the business to grow over a period of time. You know guys, principles of management which are crucially defined, which we saw in chapter number 2, the subject core crux known as principles of management, which we saw in chapter number 2, had a defined framework and guidelines. Unlike with over a period of time, the principles or the management techniques have upgraded. So the different techniques of upgradation of management which are applicable in current scenario, I'll be sharing few details about those at the end of this chapter. But over here in this chapter, we will be seeing techniques of management more related towards production, manufacturing concept, which helps companies to grow with time. So here overall, the story is more about what are the trends which are going in current scenario as far as management is concerned. These are also tools and techniques lot of companies take into consideration for functioning over a period of time. Let us see how this chapter progresses with time and what are new things involved in this chapter. The globalization of product and service markets offer a unique challenge to companies today. Now we have seen a unique thing happening since 1991, which is known as LPG, that is liberalization, privatization and globalization. These three elements, that is liberalization, privatization and globalization, has functioned in the business over a period of time in the best possible manner. Now because of liberalization, privatization and globalization, the business has coped up over a period of time. These liberalization, privatization and globalization has brought in huge new challenges on the companies. And how do they cope up is the key answer in this chapter, which we will get. Globalization relates to the ability to develop and produce products and services for regions of the world different from the home country. So different from the home country, when they are supposed to focus on different areas of businesses, globalization plays a very important role. When a firm intends to go global, its objective is to leverage its size and knowledge to produce additional sales in new markets. So whenever a company plans to go global, that is they want to now test or try or function itself in the international markets. So when the company wants to test, try and function in the international markets, there is a huge amount of challenge which focuses and personifies how the business would function over a period of time. Now when such kind of things takes place, there is additional challenges which companies faces across on those markets when they enter into the international businesses. So companies has to ensure that they have got new knowledge, new tools and techniques which can be adapted for the business to succeed. For many years, few companies regarded the manufacturing processes they employ as a source of competitive advantage. So for many years, they adapted that companies, if needed to grow ahead and have a competitive edge, they can have a competitive edge if the companies are regarded in the manufacturing process only. So for example, if companies which have progressively grown in times, if you can name any top-notch companies, you will see those companies would be in the manufacturing process which has grown with time. In India, companies like Reliance's, Tata's, Birla's, they all have in the manufacturing process. That is the core activity which has helped them to reach from a point where they started till the point which they deliver to the customer. That is what is known as the whole supply chain, right? From supplier to the customer. So this whole chain they have been giving focus upon. And that is where there is a competitive advantage in the business. The goals of companies were cost reduction and improved utilization of labor and machinery. So the goals of every business during those times and the current scenario is where they are able to reduce the cost and give the maximum output in the business. As global competitors began to dominate major industries such as automobiles, domestic appliances, consumer electronics, etc., managers started looking for the reasons for these companies to be successful. Now we have seen global competitors, like example, companies like Honda, companies like Hyundai, Companies like, say for example, we have a General Motors or Volkswagen, or we can say Audis, BMWs, and many, many international brand of cars which they have successfully functioning in the world market. It is what making the domestic companies in India looking on for the reasons why they have been successful. We have got domestic appliances which earlier were imported from international countries. Brands like Bosch and many other brands which were imported were being focused upon. So domestic companies started looking for the reasons why these companies were successful. Consumer electronics, so all these products, like we have got televisions like Sony or Samsung, these are all imported products which were imported earlier in the domestic market. So why they were successful, what they were doing different, were the reasons managers were looking for. It was observed that these companies adopted highly efficient operations. So the reason which they found that the companies are successful because of highly efficient operations, that is how do they produce the things, which enable them to produce high quality innovative products quickly. So this is one of the areas which managers started focusing upon. If companies has to succeed, they can succeed if they have got the right amount of product manufacturing expertise, or they can minimize the cost, make sure that the operations become more faster, the time for producing the goods is smaller as possible, and accordingly business can grow. So processes emerge as the key competitive weapons required for success in global competition. Many Japanese companies excelled in production function. So process is one of the areas which will excel the business over a period of time. And in that, many Japanese companies were able to excel in the production function because of their, you can say, expertise to identify and make sure adapting the management skills in the production and operation scenario help the business to grow with time. Work in manufacturing and operations will become more exciting and challenging in the years ahead. So we see also in the fact that the companies who are into manufacturing business, how quick, how fast, how unique they manufacture will give them the output accordingly. And the companies who manufacture in the best possible manner will be able to give the output in the best possible manner. And that will be more exciting and challenging in the years ahead. So in the years ahead, coming years, we will see how companies can manufacture the things in the smallest and the best possible manner is the companies which will be growing progressively over a period of time. How well processes are managed will decide whether economics of entire nation will improve or decline. So that is why we see the primary, secondary and tertiary sector, where we see these days concepts like make in India, made in India, and these concepts are been making a lot of noise in the market because of the fact that the companies, if they need to grow and compete in the market, it is going to be the operations or the manufacturing base which will help the companies to grow in the best of the scenarios. So that is where how well processes are managed will decide whether economics of the entire nation will improve or decline. So if economics of the country needs to go up, then it is going to be based on the operations or production system of the business. To meet these challenges, manufacturing firms are now adopting new methods and are applying new technology. So to make sure that the companies can grow, they can compete in the international markets, international scenarios, in the domestic as well as global areas, they are all trying with new technologies. The companies are trying with new innovation, adapting methodologies to see how companies can grow. In addition to this, companies are trying to gain or retain the market share by offering customers better value, by improving product quality and achieving higher productivity. So to make sure that they can gain, they can retain and they can grow with time, a lot of companies are offering services to customers which can add value to them. When we ask, what do we mean by adding value? It means giving something over and above what the customers expect. How will we offer something to customers over and above what they expect is going to improve product quality and achieve higher productivity. That is, output would be accordingly achievable. So if that all things needs to be achievable or function, it can be done if and only if there is proper format way of functioning in the market. So for that particular purpose, there are different tools and techniques involved in the system. The first tool and technique which is involved in the system is known as just-in-time approach. Just-in-time is a unique kind of a philosophy which has been instilled in the business scenario with the time and the concept as far as it is concerned. So the JIT approach has its roots in the Kanban system of material flow pioneered by Toyota Motor Company. Now, anyone has heard about this concept known as Kanban, JIT? JIT many of us would have heard, if not, or Kanban. Kanban is something known as what? Job card system. Now, I am going to give an example of how Kanban functions. Now, say for example, there is a production unit which is manufacturing a car in the unit or in the factory. So when there are 100 cars which have been produced together, and there are 6 different teams functioning on different cars about whatever techniques they are supposed to do. So we define the team, 6 different teams. One team would be working for the engine, second team would be working for the chassis or the body, third team will be working for the interiors, fourth team would be cleaning kind of a team, fifth would be, say for example, fitting the interiors, or rather not fitting the interiors, fitting the kits and fitting the tires and other things, and sixth would be overall development, how the car has been produced. The question which Japanese companies asked themselves was, how would a person come to know what kind of work has been done in this particular or on this particular car? So there are 100 cars from car number 2 to car number 5. It is not necessary from all the cars would have first team will go and then complete the 100 things, and then second team will come and then they will complete the 100 things, then third team will enter and they will complete the 100 things on these cars. It is not possible. They will go on as and other works are been completed or covered up. So for that particular pass, how do they pass the message to the other team that what they have done work or not? So for that purpose, they have got a card system on which there is a proper job card maintained over there. As and when the things will work out, they will be just going on ticking, or an initial signature would be done to give a message to the other team members that on this car, this kind of work is done, and on this car, this kind of work is not done. That is called as what? Kanban system or job card system. This institutionalized the functioning of the process of manufacturing more faster and more simpler manner. So just-in-time approach has its roots in the Kanban system. Just-in-time is more about as it is required, then it is going to be done. That is known as just-in-time. So the first view of JIT is as a form of production scheduling and inventory management, whereby the products are produced to meet actual demand, and materials for each stage of production are received or produced just in time for use in the next stage of production or first for delivery to the customer. This definition JIT is called as little JIT. Now what is just in time? Say for example, there are 6 processes in a factory production. So production process 1, process 2, process 3, process 4, process 5 and process 6. At process 6, the final product is ready, which is available for dispatching. So six processes are there. What is just in time? All the processes would have some or other work in progress or raw material requirement for upgrading the product or raw material from process 1 to process 6, which will be an output. So on process 1, it is just a raw material. Process 2 will be semi-finished. So they'll go on adding in a particular part. Now when process 3, the addition of semi-finished goods on which I am supposed to do my work done, that needs to be availed, or that needs to be available when I am producing that goods. So just in time makes sure that just when process 2 is going to complete, that is the time I require inventory for process 3. So I do not keep inventory in my stock, which is basically going to be blocking a lot of funds for the company. That is what is referred to as little JIT. So as and when production will take place, at that time the demand will be functioning, and that time the raw material will be coming in. Like for example, the best just-in-time example we can see in today's scenario, what families or in the kitchen which we see. Say for example, in the kitchen there is a vessel in which you keep some quantity of wheat. Now when the wheat reaches to the levels which is, say for example, 1/4 level, at that time you order so that next day morning when the wheat will be utilized, and say for example I'll be left with nil, at that time I need to do the refill. This is exactly the concept which is used in the factories for refilling of the raw materials. That is known as just in time, which is little JIT, which focuses on the levels of production over a period of time. That concept basically got over, and a new concept which was known as big JIT came into existence. Now what is big JIT? The other view of JIT as a revolutionary approach to manufacture by Japanese firms, in which the entire way the products are designed, work is organized and responsibilities are assigned, is changed drastically, and constant striving for improvement and elimination of waste is instilled. Now from little JIT to big JIT, whatever things which will basically block the way how the production unit was functioning. Like in little JIT, if there were 6 processes, as soon as it was required, that time you ordered. But at times, because of delivery problems or maybe logistics problems, the goods wouldn't reach on time, which would break the process flow. So to eliminate that waste time, big GIT was introduced, in which a lot of tools and techniques were utilized to have a continuous streamlined flow of business parameters. So work by organized and responsibilities are assigned is changed drastically. Earlier, which was just to one person functioning, but now it was the work, the empowerment of the functioning was uniformly defined. It was designed in systematic manner and output was given accordingly. This approach to manufacture is referred to as big GIT. So big GIT focused on just in time at a very higher level of functioning. The essence of big GIT is to eliminate waste. Now I am going to use one Japanese word for waste, because it is this concept has been more involved from the Japanese production. So waste in Japanese terms is known as muda, which I spell it out as M-U-D-A. You all can make a note of it. The Japanese term of waste is known as muda. M-U-D-A means waste. So the essence of big GIT is eliminate waste, speed up changeovers. So once the process is completed for manufacturing, say if I were a factory of manufacturing water bottles. So I make a lot of different styles of water bottles and different sizes of water bottles. So once a size of water bottle is over and now I have to make a different size of water bottle which has got a different kind of requirement, then changeover of the production unit will be required. The dies need to be fit in, so that is known as mold needs to be fit in so that I can process the things more faster. So speed the changeovers. Work closely with the suppliers. That suppliers should have a proper coordination between them and the companies. Streamline the flow of work. Use flexible resources. Pay attention to quality. Expose problems and use work teams to solve problems. So if this is going to be functioning, then the output would be different. This was the main aim theme of big GIT, where the focus was to eliminate muda, which means waste. Just in time also brought in the concept of lean production. The word lean production means, you can say, smooth production without any errors or mistakes in between. So the term lean production was first used by Womack, Jones and Ross in the landmark study of automobile industry in their book titled The Machine That Changed the World. So these three were the first people who used this word known as lean production. Then lean production is now known as it is a normal term in terms of production which we use regularly, that it is more about smooth production, how smoothly or how simply in simplest format the production system can function. So nowadays firms speak of going lean, that is going smooth, lean manufacturing, lean retailing and lean supply chains, which means what? They do not want to have any kind of elimination or any kind of waste, any kind of time constraint in between, but it should be very smoothly. The cycle or the supply chain needs to be very smooth. The business should be in very smooth format. That is what just-in-time approach functions and focuses upon. The basic ideas behind just-in-time or lean production are: work in progress inventory should be reduced to the barest minimum. So as much as possible, work in progress the work in progress raw materials as much as possible should be reduced, so that the cycle moves more faster and the business goes ahead accordingly. Just in time is a pull system. You understand what do you mean by pull system and push system? Push system is when the manufacturer pushes the product to the customer, and pull system means the customer demands from the manufacturer that he needs this particular product or services. And just in time is more about pull system. Pull system from the manufacturing point of view is that manufacturer will ask the suppliers that I want the raw material, please give me the raw material. So just in time is more about pull system. Production at each stage is initiated only when requested. So only when it is required, at that time only production, or you can say raw materials, will be procured. Just in time extends beyond the plant boundaries. Supplier partnerships ensure that deliveries are made on as needed basis. So as and when it is needed, that is the time when the materials would be specifically being allocated. So the basic idea behind JIT or lean production is to make sure that things can be more smoother. It should be based on demand, need based, unlike not having just keeping it ready and then waiting for people to require it. So the benefits of JIT extends beyond savings of inventory related costs. Quality problem can be identified earlier. Rework and inspection of the finished goods are minimized. So the benefits of JIT is more focusing upon beyond the savings of inventory related cost. It is not just focusing on inventory related cost. It is working, reworking and inspecting of finished goods, which are minimized. So they want to make sure as much as possible finished goods activities are minimized so that the cycle becomes more faster and the output is given accordingly. The JIT approach requires a serious commitment from top management and workers alike. So everyone has to give their commitment, that be the top management, be the lower management. They all need to contribute and they all need to give the output as per the requirement of the business. So JIT is more about how smoothly, how commitment the top management and workers give together for functioning of the business. Now, for making sure JIT is exactly what the companies these days looking are for the business, let us have a comparison chart between what was the conventional purchasing on a traditional purchasing scenario versus the JIT purchasing scenario. In conventional times purchasing, the focus was more on purchasing in large infrequent deliveries, whereas JIT concept believes in the concept of small frequent deliveries. Now before I go ahead with this and the other concept, I'm just going to tell you a brief idea about what happens. In conventional purchasing was more about the traditional stories when great grandparents or grandparents used to procure the things for household things, procuring household things. During those times when wheat or rice or jowar or bajra or anything with regards to produces to be stored in the house, they used to purchase for the whole year. That is known as conventional purchasing. But today's families have been really smart, they have been really focused. What they do is they do just-in-time purchasing. They'll purchase small thing frequent times. Why is it so? Because it is available throughout the year. Why should we might as well keep that thing in the house and store it for a whole year? And maybe in between the whole year the things can get outdated and things are not as per the requirement. So conventional was more about purchasing in bulk, blocking of money and available at the minimum cost. Whereas today's scenario, not blocking the money but buying in small, so maybe there is a chance the prices at times would be higher and the prices at times would be the least. So it would have a cyclical rate fluctuation which will have which the individuals or families can have something known as economies of scale, or they can have advantage of averaging out. So that is where conventional is more about the traditional and just in time is more about modern. So conventional is large infrequent and small frequent. Conventional, it was multiple suppliers for each purchase item, so they'll have a lot of suppliers for each purchase item, whereas today's scenario, few suppliers for single sourcing. Short term, like we have got one mall, everything we used to purchase, and over here it was 10 different stores from which the things would purchase. It was short term purchasing agreements, long term supplier partnerships. So here it was short term purchase once, next year I will see, wherein over here it is regularly. Minimal exchange of information between buyer and supplier, it is frequent exchange of information between buyer and supplier. Prices established by the supplier, so it was seller's market, but now it is prices negotiated because it is buyer's market in today's scenario. Geographical proximity of suppliers is not important because we used to get things best from across the country. But over here, geographical proximity is very important, which means if the store is exactly bang on my building, it is going to be more feasible and more easier for me. As when it is required, I can go and pick up that things. That is why geographical proximity of suppliers is important in just-in-time purchasing.